John, let's talk about exorcisms for a moment. When they first occur, explain, even before we get into the priest position of it, explain what is happening to the individual. How did they get possessed?
Usually the beginning stages, before I would even consider somebody being actually possessed, it's very important to find out what that person's been involved with. It's very important on my end to find out if there's anything psychologically or physically wrong with those individuals. Then it's very important to observe what is happening with that individual. I like to talk to their friends, their family members. All these things are very important to me to do and get documented to see exactly what is happening. And usually it's the oppression state where I usually get involved with a person. When I say the oppression, that's usually what happens before a person is actually possessed. Their personality will change. They totally withdraw from the family. Everything and anything that they normally will be involved with changes about them. And a lot of them will start to have this feeling that they definitely have something with them. They start getting information that they normally would not have. These are the characteristics of some of the things that are very important to rule out or find out is happening when I get involved with those types of cases.
And I guess it skews all age brackets if one believes in the movie The Exorcist, mm-hmm. Where Linda Blair is the kid, you know, it occurs in youngsters as well, right?
It can. It usually is teenagers. I haven't really come up against a child that I would say is, you know, really possessed. But it's usually in the teenager state that these things take place. That's when most kids are curious and they start getting involved with things. That particular movie, The Exorcist, is based on a child that is playing within a Ouija board and establishes a communication with the spirit world, and the doors have been opened. So therefore, in that time bracket, I've dealt with kids 14 and 15 years old that have had major problems.
A person who does not dabble with the occult, does not play around with Ouija boards, doesn't try to open up portals to the other side, leads a pretty good, decent life, good, caring person. What are the odds of that person, John, getting possessed?
Very rare. It's extremely, extremely rare. You will find most times that people that have these types of things happen to them, one way or another, had opened up doors for this to be able to invade their lives.
How many people who have been possessed are accused of just being off their rocker when they're really in serious trouble with some kind of demonic possession?
Oh, I'd say about 90%.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's very, very common. Very common, and I'm very used to dealing with that, where a lot of people feel that, you know, the person could have snapped, or they felt that, you know, they just went totally off their rocker. That's where it's very, very key and very crucial to be able to sit down and spend time with the people, with the individual, so you can kind of piece things together. And you usually can tell, because the person will usually open up with you and tell you that they feel there's something else happening. Can you please try and help me?
Do they ever try to lunge at you? Do they ever get to the point where that personality of the individual, whoever he or she might have been, is gone, and then you're just dealing with this evil entity?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't happen that often, but it has happened, George, where I've had people actually come towards me. During exorcisms, I don't perform them. I leave that up to the clergy.
Do you assist?
I assist. And one of the key things with assisting in these is to try and protect the clergy.
Right.
So therefore, you're like right in between them. And there's been many a times where I've gotten in between where these people will try to lunge at them, and I've been physically hurt a few times.
You get the supernatural jolt, I guess, huh?
Yes, so to speak, yes.
Okay, so let's have you take us through an exorcism, if you would. What's the room look like, and what happens?
Well, it could be done in a church, it could be done in a chapel, and it can be done in a person's home. It depends on the circumstances. And normally, when you do deal with it within a church, it's usually either done in a chair in the front of the church or done in the pew. And it's usually, you know, a cleared area where people can, you know, encircle that person to be able to hold them down. A lot of times they will be restrained, or they could be put into a straitjacket. Many of exorcisms I've been involved with, I've been witness to that. Not all exorcisms are extremely violent. They will have a manifestation that can come through, and they will talk in a voice, and the characteristics of the individuals will change. The more violent ones are usually the ones that you least expect to be violent. Those are the ones where the people gain an enormous amount of strength, and it takes several people to be able to hold them down.
You really could get hurt that way, couldn't
you? Oh, you can, yes. Yeah, you can be seriously hurt assisting with exorcisms.
Do they want to kill you, this evil entity, when this is going on?
I'm pretty sure they would like to, yeah. You know, they will come out with things like that and statements like that when they are under. And I dislike exorcisms. I know that you have to prepare yourself for anything that could possibly happen, could happen at an exorcism.
It's got to be draining.
It's extremely, extremely draining. I don't like to be involved with cases immediately afterwards either. I try to hold off for a few days because you don't know what the tailspin could be off of that. So these are the different things that I prepare myself for, and anybody that's working with me and helping me out with them.